from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Cordelli with us here in hour number one. Hour two, the angelic tones of Ole Miss Evie. Kevin Hagan, hour two. We tape that on Thursdays. We talk Alabama with him. You'll hear that again in the second hour. And no Brad Powers. Brad does an annual road trip across America every spring and or summer, which is for him a stadium pilgrimage. He goes stadium to stadium. He's gone West Coast. He's gotten on I-10, I guess, what would that be, in San Diego, and taking it all the way. I-10 will take you all the way to the end of Jacksonville, right? Anyways, he's done that. He's been up in the Northeast. I think this time he's concentrating on the Midwest, because when I got the message from him later on Thursday, he was in Indiana. He'd just been in Bloomington at IU, trekking around. Yeah, Brad's making his pilgrimage, and he said, Bill, I'd love to do the show, but I think the service is going to be spotty. I don't know how clear it's going to be. No worries. He's with us every week. I think we're going on 14, 15 years, literally. It's been a long haul, a very good one. So if he needs some days off, I mean, he deserves whatever he wants. He's put in the grind. He's put in the time. So no Brad today. We're clear hour number three to go wherever we want. Coach Pete, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Do you... And I know you're a junkie, a football junkie, but do you watch spring games much?
No. No. The way that it has been, spring practice has been watered down in the new format. I don't get much out of that. I really don't.
When you were coaching, what was the methodology for spring practice?
Well, when I was coaching, we had 20 days. So yeah. It was not 15. We had an extra 5 days of practice. And our methodology was to come out with a starting 11 on offense, a starting 11 on defense, starters on all special teams, so that guys knew exactly where they stood in their exit interviews and what they had to do in the summer to prepare for when they returned to camp in August. But now, with the advent of players being able to go to summer school on scholarship and coaches now being able to spend time with football players like basketball coaches can do on a weekly basis, there's more coaching going on in June and July than there ever has been before.
That's a good point. And, Pete, I don't know if they've passed that rule about adding all the additional coaches who can be on the field practice-wise in game day, but that's going to affect things too.
Yeah, those guys will be the primary coach. They're going to take the list that they posit the specific position coach is given, and those guys are going to actually go and coach those players in the summer. Bill, I will say this. The best spring game I was ever involved in with a coach, as a coach, excuse me, was the spring of 1977 when our first year at Arkansas with Coach Holtz. And we played two spring games, played one in Fayetteville, and then the final spring game was in Little Rock. And, you know, in Arkansas, and you have a great feel for that state, they love their Razorbacks now.
Yeah.
So the excitement is high and everything. So the first game is going to be televised statewide. So Coach Holtz comes out and says, here's the format. It's one offense, one defense against the rest. And the starters are in red. Everybody else is in white. So the game starts out. And the red, as expected, the starters, they're up 28-0 at halftime. Unbeknownst to anybody, I'm talking about Monty Kiffin, Larry, anybody, any coach, any player, Lou walks in at halftime and says, all right, change jerseys. Everybody goes, what? Yep, if you're in a white jersey, you put on a red. If you're in a red jersey, put on a white. He doesn't tell anybody. So now the white team is the starters, first offense, first defense. The fans don't know it. The guys doing TV don't know it. So we come out, and the red team now gets the ball to start the second half. They go down and kick a field goal. It's 31-0, red. The white comes back and scores 35. All right. So basically, the first team scored all 66 total points. And Lou didn't tell the public until after the game. He said, I just wanted to see guys compete.
So folks in the stands may not know that it's good on against the rest, and they may think it's an even matchup. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. They just thought, you know, oh, man, we got great starters here. You know, and all of a sudden, man, this white team's coming back, and they beat the starters. That's their thought. It's like this white team is supposed to be the second team, guys. They come back and score 35 unanswered to win 35-31, and then Lou says, nah, we made them change jerseys at the half.
Pete, something that I don't know that you and I have discussed, maybe we have, but I don't recall. This idea that's been out there for centuries, that gets floated, but it never gets far, it never gets anywhere, about why not scrimmage or play a spring game against another real opponent? For example, why not geographically Tennessee and North Carolina play? Why not Notre Dame and they already play Purdue and IU and all those teams, but some teams geographically
Michigan. Notre Dame, Michigan would be a great one.
Oh, incredible. But, Pete, that other than dudes talking about it like you and I right now, it never gets anywhere. It never gets past the conversation.
Bill, I proposed this 10 years ago, and here's my proposal. You call it the Spring Fling Weekend. You know how the ACC and the Big Ten have their basketball matchups in November?
Yep.
You do a conference deal, and let's say it's SEC Big Ten. And when I say it's a spring fling weekend, I'm talking about your baseball team, your softball team, your track team, your lacrosse team. If I'm at Tennessee and we're going to go play Ohio State, the whole weekend is Tennessee going to Columbus with all their sports. And the spring game, all the money generated, all the revenue generated by the Tennessee-Ohio State football spring game is given to Title IX and gender equity. I've been pushing this idea for 10 years. You have a three-game baseball series. You have a track meet, a lacrosse game. Whatever spring sports you have, you go and compete. And then the next year, Ohio State comes to Knoxville. And you do it on a two-year basis. And the coaches in the football game, they determine how many plays the starters get. You could have all of April and the first two weekends in May filled every Saturday, just like in the fall, with the 11 o'clock kickoff, the 2:30 kickoff, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock. And it's another revenue generator. But all sports travel. And it's a home and home deal. It's a two-year deal. Then the next year, or after the 2 years are up, you change conferences. And now with the Big Ten going coast to coast, I mean, could you imagine SC Alabama in a two-year deal? The matchups would be great. Vanderbilt, Stanford. You could match them up. And, again, you can limit how much time you want your starters to play. But now ESPN televises those games in the spring because other than the Masters, which was last weekend, could you imagine having a slate of college football games all of April and the first two weekends in May?
And campus would just be buzzing.
And it would all be done before graduation. It would all be done. No question. It's a total revenue generator, not only for your teams, but also for the towns that the games are held in. How much money does Tuscaloosa make when Alabama has a home football game? Now you got SC coming in? Come on, man. Let's roll.
You don't think that if Stanford came here, people would want to go over there and watch Stanford baseball and Vandy baseball? It'd be a heck of a game.
Stanford golf versus Alabama golf?
Right. Yep.
Tennis. I mean, I don't care what you do. It's a total sports weekend, and you're immersed in every sport.
More Coach Pete. If you have anything for him, the text line, the call text option line, I should say, 615-844-5600. Twitter, at Bill is King, and you can email BillIsKing7@gmail.com. More Coach Pete. As we continue on the Friday edition, it's already Friday. Gets here fast. Omni National Hotel.
Good morning. Trying to clear up this crash on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. It's already jammed it up pretty good down in this area. Talk about wrong place, wrong time. It was already heavy as it is. Now it's even heavier on 65 southbound. Trying to get past Trinity Lane as they clean up that accident. Loading up pretty good with more volume on 24 coming past 840 out there in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, headed towards Davidson County. 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my entire family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts. Until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon Franchisor SPV LLC.
The 2024 Atlanta Braves are on a mission to bring home a seventh straight NL East title and head back to the Fall Classic.
Harris to the warning track. Harris will leap, and he got it! He caught the ball! You have got to be kidding me! Swung on, belted, deep right field, gone!
Listen to the NL East defending champs, the Atlanta Braves, only on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Got some questions for Coach Pete. Back to your idea, which scrimmaging or playing a spring game against another team, let me repeat, has never, ever had any traction, probably because of injuries, what have you. But, Pete, here's what I would like to see as a subset of your idea. I'd like it to be a game, but I want to see the young guys. I don't need to see what Quinshon Judkins can do, right? I don't need to see what a veteran quarterback. I know what Carson Beck's about, right? I want to see Gunnar Stockton, if I'm going to watch a Georgia game, you know, proposed Pete Cordelli spring game. I want to see, for Notre Dame, I want to see Lloyd Carr's, his grandson, CJ Carr.
Or Kenny Minchie.
Kenny Minchie from Nashville. Or if I'm Tennessee, yep. I think we know Nico. I want to see Jake Merklinger, their true freshman out of Savannah. All those young quarterbacks over there, Austin Mack at Alabama. That's what I would like to see. But, Pete, I think we're dreaming. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Here's my point about playing your starters. Southern Cal has a new quarterback getting ready to go. I want to see Jalen Milroe operate Kalen DeBoer's offense for two series. I just want to see the first.
Good point. Yeah.
Against outside competition. I want to see Nico, other than the bowl game, I want to see Nico for two series with this new group of receivers. And I would only play my starters two series. And then I'm like you. I want everybody else to play. Now, here's what coaches, my friends of mine in coaching tell me about the transfer portal. They want to see guys on tape before they make a decision about them. Well, with this second window, at least you have these guys on tape against outside competition. The guys that didn't play in the fall. So it's another opportunity for a young guy to put reps on tape. And if he feels like he needs to go, all he needs to do is say, you know, to the coach that maybe he wants to go to, to Duke. He says to Manny Diaz, Coach, I played three series in the spring game against Oklahoma. Now you go and evaluate that guy. No, it's not a full game. I understand that. But I would only play the starters because of the transfer guys that you got in. There's guys coming off injury. There's redshirt guys. There's a bunch of young people that haven't played. I don't want to see them going against the same guys. I say this all the time to fan bases. The worst thing that we can do in the spring for a fan base is give them false hope. No hope, I understand. But false hope is this. You wake up, or now with instant media, the third-team quarterback or some kid, the backup quarterback, threw five touchdown passes in the game, and you're going, my gosh, I can't wait to see Joey Smith play. He threw five touchdown passes. Well, the problem was the corner he threw four against was a third-team walk-on. And everybody gets all excited. It's like, folks, competition matters. The level of competition matters. That's why I've proposed going against other teams. And you have new guys. How about new staffs having the opportunity to operate on game day before they actually get into a game in August or September? The communication between the press box. Now with the electronics of the helmet to the quarterback, how about having that opportunity to get worked out in the spring before you actually get in to the fall? Say it all the time. College football is at the biggest disadvantage over high school football and the NFL, because in August, there are no scrimmages, there are no jamborees like you have in high school, and there are no NFL preseason games. Game one, Labor Day weekend, you have to be ready coming out of the chute. Well, if you played the spring game against outside competition, at least you'd have an organizational situation that you went through before. Like if Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama staff, obviously with new players, you get to run through your game day operation and everybody sees how you operate before Alabama opens the season with Western Kentucky.
Pete, let me add to this. The third-team corner that got five touchdowns thrown on him, also the night before, drank at the frat house at the keg party and is going on about 1 hour sleep. I just wanted to add that.
That's happened too. Yes, sir. Johnny White Sox, he won the frat party. Yeah. I love it.
Before I get to questions.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Bill. Can you imagine those frat parties on Friday night with Southern Cal coming to town? Or
I can imagine the police presence you would need. I can imagine that part. All right, how was your trip to Augusta? Tell us about it.
Absolutely fantastic. Got there, and my son-in-law and I, we went in, went to the practice area, saw six, seven guys warm up, went to the store, took an hour and 15 minutes going through the line to get in, and it's just unbelievable, the merchandise. And I saw Coach Munkin from Army was there in line getting ready to go into the store. We came out, and my son-in-law wanted to walk the course. So we started on one and went to two. My gosh, they've moved the tee box back on two. If it's 10 yards further, they're off the property. They're on Washington Street. It is just an absolute long, long golf hole. We walked down two. Rory McIlroy bombed a drive. And again, this is a par five. He bombs one over the bunker on the right. It hits the hill and just takes off. He obviously birdies two. Bill, we walk up the left side of number one, and we watch Will Zalatoris tee off and So we get up pretty close to the green on one. Well, Ty Hatton hooks his tee shot into the trees on one. So I'm standing there, and I'm about, I don't know, 25 yards from the number one green, and the pin is in the upper left-hand corner. We're standing there. Aren't too many people around. Next thing I know, I hear a thud, and I look down, and 3 feet from me is Ty Hatton's ball. I didn't know whose it was, and it starts rolling to my, towards my foot, so I just back up. Well, Hatton, he's not the most most jovial guy you'll find.
Yeah.
He and his caddy come up. He's mumbling something and everything. Well, he's got to make this chip, and he's got to get some height on it, get some air under it. He leaves it short. He comes back over. He's looking around. Now, we've been backed up by the officials, and all of a sudden he turns around and he looks and he goes, F off. And my son-in-law looks at me and goes, you didn't say anything to him? I said, I haven't said a word. And so somebody said, yeah, well, Zach Johnson had the same response on Thursday when he hit a bad shot. So it was, we were laughing like heck. And, but we walked course, and, unbelievable. You know, from the number 10 tee down to 12 green, there's a 171-foot drop in elevation. And, that was amazing. It was absolutely a great time. Then you get to 16, obviously, just the par three. And that's where Vern Lundquist was. You know, he finished his broadcast there. Well, we start walking up 17, and it's just a constant rise all the way up. We're about 20 yards from the green, and I look over, and there's a guy sitting in a golf cart, one of the officials. He has his jacket on, tie, and he's got a tag that says Rules Committee. And I'm looking at this guy, and I go, that's Mark Dusbobic. He played for us at Minnesota. So I've got a hat and sunglasses on. I walk over. I said, excuse me, sir. He said, yeah. I said, you're with the Rules Committee. Yeah. He said, do you know Mark Dusbobic? He said, that's me. I said, I know it is. And I take my glasses off, and he goes, coach. Well, he ended up playing 9 years in the NFL. Now, he gets up. We have a great time talking and everything. Dusbobic was one of the toughest guys we ever had at Minnesota. Looks like he could still play. We're standing there telling stories, and he's getting calls on his earpiece, and he goes, coach, I got to take this. I said, great, I'm going to let you go. But it was great seeing Deuce. And then my son-in-law and I walked up, and we sat on the rope by the bunker in front of the first green, and we watched all the groups come through and watch Scottie Scheffler. It was just a great day, Bill. Absolutely great day.
Question on Twitter for Coach Pete. Mike the Mad Dog wants to know, what do coaches want from players in a spring game?
He wants them to be consistent, handle the moment, the situations. You know, that's the biggest thing. Look, whether it's spring game or fall, effort, you know, how hard you're playing, don't make mental mistakes, and it's game day for those guys. A lot, again, like we talked about earlier, a lot of them, this is really the first competition they get coming off a fall where they didn't play. So you want to see their effort. If they have a grasp of what you're trying to do mentally, and then getting it done physically. So, but with Coach Holtz, we wanted a definite starting 11 on offense, starting 11 on defense, and special teams. Now you got coaches, Bill, that don't even post depth charts. And it's like, how do you increase competition? I mean, if you're not coming to school to be the starting right tackle at Tennessee, what are you doing? Or wherever you are.
Right.
What's your motivation?
Rod, a Buckeye in Texas. Ask Coach Pete, at Notre Dame, are there any big-name players that Notre Dame did not get that flipped at the last second in recruiting and totally surprised you?
Yeah. Ricky Waters. Ricky played at Bishop McDevitt High School in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and it was us in Penn State. And I'd gone over to see Ricky about three or four times, and his family was leaning towards Penn State. And then Tuesday after school, he calls and says, "Coach, I'm coming." I said, "What?" "Yes, sir, let's roll." Ricky Waters.
Flip side, though, ones you did not get at the last minute.
Oh, we didn't get.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what?
Some of the Southern Cal kids that you were on, maybe?
Mark Spindler, who ended up going to Pitt.
Right.
We thought we were going to get Spindler. He was from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And he ended up going to really good defensive tackle. Ended up playing for the Lions for a while, but we thought Spindler was coming, and he ended up going to Pitt. I got to tell you, we were fortunate. We were really fortunate. We didn't have that many guys flip. Now, we had a guy transfer who we thought was going to stay, Dorsey Levins, you know, the running back who ended up going to Georgia Tech and then played in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Very good player.
Dorsey was a heck of a running back and just a great young man.
Pete, were you there when you were gone by the time Randy Moss committed at least to Notre Dame, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Here's the other item, and I'll get with these other questions. I've heard players that played 4 years at Notre Dame, stayed the whole way. But they always say, they always add a caveat, Pete. They always say, you know, that place isn't for everybody.
No, it's not.
And I would say at Notre Dame, whichever coaching staff it is at the time, Pete, you're dealing with guys that are considering transferring, I think maybe more than most schools, just because of the intensity of the academic and athletic combination.
But you know what, Bill? That's what makes it so special.
Right.
And here's the thing. If after our first year, after the 86 season, and I'll explain when we come back after the break.
Jim and Ramsey's driving to Syracuse. He's a big Rutgers fan. He also wants me to ask Coach Pete, which we will, his thoughts on Rutgers right now and how they're doing under Coach Shiano, who has revived that program. No doubt about it. We'll talk about that, too. Jim's driving up Syracuse way right now. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still running slow from that earlier crash on 65 southbound over here trying to get past Trinity Lane as traffic increases even more out here in the Mount Juliet area, I-40 westbound. It's just that time of the morning for that to really crank up westbound headed into Hermitage 24. Busy, but it's still moving right now, actually coming out of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. Now, that's going to get really busy in the next 15, 20 minutes on 24 westbound, passing Bell Road. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken has new items on a brand new menu. You can order online this weekend. Check it out at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. Package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks, and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. It's starleasing.com to learn more.
Ad paid for by Anthem Tax Services. Attention, if you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help. Due to the financial hardships in the country, the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems, end all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes significantly. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-240-4917 today to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free and the help is real. Call 800-240-4917. That's 800-240-4917. Again, 800-240-4917.
In a single moment, everything can change. When a player's sudden cardiac event brought a national football game to a halt, it shone a spotlight on the importance of CPR readiness. Now, with youth sports in full swing, the American Heart Association is rallying parents and coaches to be ready in an emergency. To be ready, learn hands-only CPR. It's a skill anyone can learn in minutes. Visit heart.org/hands-only CPR and become a lifesaver today.
Hey, this is George Plaster. Looking forward to joining the WNSR family Monday, April the 29th with Kelly Holcomb, Watson Brown, and Billy Derrick. We'll continue to broadcast from the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, but now we have the ability to take your phone calls. 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, April 29th. We'll get it started. Hope you'll join us on Nashville Sports Radio.
Doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
I remember one of the Notre Dame players that told me that for some it's very difficult to stick it out. There was Rocky Boyman, who's from, I believe, Cincinnati, and shunned Ohio State to go to Notre Dame and got a little bit of a sip in the NFL. Is actually here. He and Rocky Kalmus from Oklahoma were here with the Titans back then. But anyways, Pete, he told me that. Now he's working at ESPN and doing a pretty good job. But Pete, you were carrying on there before the music kicked us off.
Yeah, after the 86 season, Coach Holtz said we need to change the way we recruit. And so most schools had 150 guys on the board. And again, because of the academics, the extra math that you needed and things like that, and that's where that saying, okay, and then the academic standards that you have to keep. Here's the thing about Notre Dame, Bill. If you graduate in 4 years with your incoming class and you have eligibility remaining, they give you a fifth year. If you don't graduate in 4 years, you can't come back for your fifth year. That's why the graduation rate is so high. So knowing that standard, we increased, you know, most schools had 100, 150 guys on their board. We went to 300. We doubled it. Said, Coach, we got to increase our pool because we're not going to get who we want. We can't get a bunch of five-star guys who don't qualify. I'm recruiting in Texas, and Texas has a 6-week no pass, no play. at the end of 6 weeks, if a guy's failing, he's out for the next 6 weeks. So some guys would say to me, Coach, if I don't make the no pass, no play, are you still going to offer me? I said, I can't. I can't offer you a scholarship. You're not eligible to play for your high school team. You're not passing. I can't get you in. And I said, look, I had to tell a bunch of guys, great recruiting you. Sorry, though, we may play against you in a bowl game or during the season. So we had to increase our pool. The other thing we did was every home game on Friday, the staff would come in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and if there was if Bill King was a running back, three offensive coaches, one defensive coach would watch your tape, and they had to sign off on it. If Bill King was a defensive back, three defensive coaches, one offensive coach had to watch it. And that way, because you know, after 2 years, if you're recruited as a running back and you're not making it, but you want to play, you'll probably switch to another position. From after 86, we had 25 scholarships to give next 4 years, 100 guys. Out of those 100 guys, 38 of them went to the NFL. Seven others got signed as free agents. We had a pretty good system going on how to evaluate. And Lou was right. Notre Dame's about player development because you're not getting Johnny Five-Star. So develop those guys. And then the other thing you'd say, if you're a starter at Notre Dame with the schedule we play, you should be able to play in the National Football League if we're coaching you right. And that's where those numbers came from.
Jim from Ramsey, New Jersey, who's driving up to Syracuse, wants to know your thoughts on the job that Greg Schiano has done at Rutgers from his return. He was there previously, now back.
I think he's doing a great job. Greg, and hiring Kirk Cariaccia a year ago, Kirk is one of the best offensive coordinators in the country. I think Rutgers is going to have a really good year this year. And Greg knows how good the players in New Jersey are. I mean, look, Tom Osborne used to make a living at Nebraska getting really good players out of New Jersey.
Yep.
Schiano's doing a good job. I mean, I can't believe how badly he got screwed at Tennessee, and they end up hiring the other knucklehead. But anyway, Schiano would still be at Tennessee competing if he was there. And if Fulmer hadn't gotten Curry fired. But anyway, that's a whole other story for another time.
Michael in the 615. Now, this is a Memphis radio question. How about this? Wants to know, how did you like working with the late, and I knew him too, George Lapidus?
He was a piece of work. I mean, George Lapidus was one heck of a guy. I mean, a walking encyclopedia. And a very interesting guy. But George always had the city of Memphis's best interest at heart in everything that he did.
Right.
George was great for that city.
Was a long time previously TV guy, TV sports anchor there, many years in radio. His wife, a corporate lawyer, I believe, there. And
right.
Just a super guy now, very cerebral. You had to understand George. He's not your typical guy, but George had a really big heart. He really did.
You know, he was the mentor for Paul Feinbaum. Feinbaum's from Memphis.
Right.
And Feinbaum goes to Tennessee, and he was the sports editor of the student newspaper at Tennessee.
The Daily Beacon.
And he used to talk to Lapidus all the time. And George guided Feinbaum along the way. And, that was Feinbaum's guy, man.
Bunch of questions here on the text line and also Twitter. We'll get to Coach Pete kind of rapid fire him in the last segment
Bill.
Here.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
We need to write a book.
More Coach Pete as we continue.
Good morning. Still a little bit sluggish as you travel down 65 southbound over here at Trinity Lane from our earlier collision that just added an extra delay down through there. It's loading up pretty good with some more volume coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County on 24 westbound through Smyrna as you continue up into the Antioch area. Watch for a little bit of radar down I-40 in parts of Wilson and Smith County this morning. Prince's Hot Chicken now has new items on a new menu. You've got to check it out this weekend. You can even order online. PrincesHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
And now, Veterans Restoration is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Veterans Restoration, serving Middle Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. For residential or commercial, fire, water, or storm damage restoration, give the pros a call today at 615-838-8407. 615-838-8407. That's Veterans Restoration. They're professionals who care.
Hello, I'm Greg Figueroa.
And I'm David Figueroa. Over 30 years ago, my brother Greg and I set out on a mission to offer the world a better hot sauce.
That's right, David. We made Melinda's thicker, hotter, and better than ordinary hot sauces.
And now we have 32 exciting and delicious sauces that hot sauce fans are obsessed with, like our ghost pepper sauce, our Thai sweet chili, and our best-selling black truffle hot sauce.
Melinda's also has 5 spicy ketchups made with real sugar and no added junk like high fructose corn syrup. People ask David and I what makes Melinda so good. That's easy. We think like chefs do. Instead of burning someone with hot peppers and vinegar, we use fresh plant-based ingredients and the finest chili pepper perfectly blended to set your mouth on flavor.
Go to Melinda's.com to find our line of craft condiments at Walmart and other fine retailers. And right now, get 20% off our award-winning sauces with code SPORTS at Melinda's.com. That's M-E-L-I-N-D-A-S.com. Melinda's.com.
And now, Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body is reminding motorists to slow down on our roadways and keep an eye out for motorcycles and never drink and drive. This message is brought to you by locally owned and operated Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body, our full-service body shop. So give the pros a call today at 615-593-5699. 615-593-5699. That's Frankenstein Custom Paint and Body, going the extra mile for safety. They're professionals who care.
It's a Bill King show.
Interestingly enough, Jerry Curtis, Adam, I'm sure you saw this, over the past week has committed to Georgia. And depending on the recruiting service, he's either the top-ranked quarterback in his class, and in one of the services, they've got him ranked the top overall player regardless of position.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
To know anything about college football, consult with the Encyclopedia Bill Tanaka every morning.
I got a bunch of questions for Coach Pete in maybe 6 minutes to get them in. Charlie in America's Georgia, Coach, wants to know, was Ricky Waters the best running back you had at Notre Dame? Jerome Bettis.
He was one of them. Tony Brooks was darn good out of Tulsa, out of Booker T. Washington, his younger brother, Reggie. Yep. But we had, and then Anthony Johnson, who was from South Bend, was an excellent fullback. Braxton Banks. I mean, we had some really, really good players. Rodney Culver, unfortunately, he and his wife got killed in a plane crash. You know, he was playing for the Chargers.
Yeah.
Ricky could also play wide receiver. When we beat Miami 31-30, we had moved Ricky out the flanker, out the split end, and Rocket was in the slot with Tony Brooks at tailback. But when the game was over, Jimmy Johnson came across the field and told Lou, he said, all I know is this is the first time I've ever seen the Miami defense, the linebackers not want to tackle that running back in the fourth quarter. He got better as the game went on. But Ricky Waters made 2 huge catches in the game one down to the one on a post corner, and then he runs a post and absolutely torched the secondary. Ricky Waters, though, was a really, really competitive guy. That was the other thing, Bill. We had enough players that practice, the competition was just absolutely phenomenal Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and made us better in all phases, made us better. But Ricky Waters was special. Yes.
Jim and Ramsey on the way to Syracuse. What kind of relationship, he wants to know, did Lou and Joe Paterno have?
What a great question. Tense.
you think?
When I was playing at NC State, we played Penn State in Raleigh. And Penn State scores to go ahead. And then Joe goes with a surprise onside kick. And they recover. So when the game's over, Lou walks across and said, "Hey, Joe, I don't appreciate." And he said, "Young man, don't ever put your finger out at me again." And he said, "Here's the other thing. You worry about your team, I'll worry about mine. Quit complaining." And Joe walked off the field.
I can see that.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. I mean, you got Paterno at 5'5 and Holtz at 5'3. I mean, you know.
Jim and Jupiter wants to know, what league do you think Florida State will end up in?
SEC. I think they're in the SEC. I just got to believe. I mean, geographically, it's not just for football. It makes sense for all the other sports. I think they're going to end up in the SEC. So it would be great to have them in.
I'm trying to read this one and proofread it. Jim also wants to know, tell Coach Pete how big his teams were to high school kids in the 80s at Notre Dame, because every dude on my high school team knew the whole team. Many didn't like Notre Dame, but they respected them. Okay, I understand what he means there.
Yeah, I mean, our guys, look, I mean, we didn't have – our starting right guard was Timmy Grunhard, who was 6 foot, half inch, 305. Mike Helt was our center. He was 6'1", 295. And then Timmy Ryan was the left guard, and he was 6 foot, a half inch, and about 298, 300. And all three of those guys went on and had great NFL careers. And so we didn't look for the big offensive lineman. We wanted football players, guys that could keep leverage. And those three going against Chris Zorich and Bryant Young every day in practice. And Williams, I mean, my gosh. And it was Stonebreaker at one guy. We had guys that would peak. Practices, I'm telling you, we saw some things in practice as coaches the public just never saw on Saturday. And it was a great time. But again, it all started with Coach Holtz and player development. How are we making our guys better? And, man, what a fun time it was to be at Notre Dame, to go from 86 through 90. You know, in 88, we win it all, but 89 and 90, coming down to the last game of the season, we had a chance to win it again. So, yeah, it was a great time.
That's the old iron sharpens iron theory. That's
you know what? And when those guys came on as high school recruits, when we brought guys in, we wanted them to meet these guys. And those players would come back and say, "Coach, this guy will fit in." Or, "Coach, we don't know about this guy." There was a lot of discussion and dialogue with players on the team as who they thought would be a fit. And that carried some weight in recruiting meetings on Sunday afternoons.
Quick question. Allen in Tampa said last year at the Masters he spent $800 in the shop there, the souvenir shop. He wants to know what you spent.
I beat you, Allen. Let's just say add about $250 to that.
Gotcha. Coach Pete, have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next Friday.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, we need to Tales from the Golden Road. We're stealing something from the Grateful Dead.
Just get some. Let's hire a court stenographer and let him just take notes in it when you store it in a book.
I'm telling you, we got some stories now, don't we?
See, man.
All right, brother.
There he is, Coach Pete. The Angelic Jones of Ole Miss EV. That is next. Friday edition. Already Friday, y'all.